I want to share with you some more words from the book of Genesis. And this is from chapter 12, the opening verses. This is when Abraham is called and instructions are given to him. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, what I want us to do this morning is to explore that call to Abraham. Abraham, who had to let go of the old and to move forward, and to explore it and to find out what it means for us today. I've got a few pictures I want to share with you. If I could have the first one up, please, that would be good. Now, this picture is in Chartres Cathedral. It is a labyrinth. It is on the floor of the cathedral. And every now and again, they move all the chairs back so that it can be seen. A labyrinth is a place to walk, to ponder. But it's very different from a maze. When you go through a maze, I'm sure you've all done this, you've gone through mazes and you come to a dead end and you have to turn around, go back, find the next route. And you wander as you can till eventually you hope you're going to get there. A labyrinth is very different. And I have given you each, or I hope you've each got one, if we could have the next slide, that looks like this. It has only got one entrance. And you can do this when you get home with it. You'd probably be better with a pencil to do it. But actually, if you trace your way in, there is only one route. There are no dead ends in a labyrinth. It meanders all the way. At times, it will come very, very close to the centre. And then you move right the way again outside. And eventually the route will take you right into the centre. It's about your journey. It's about travelling. It's about moving. And when you get to the centre, you have to ask yourself, what is it I am going to leave here? What is it I need to let go of? And what is it I can take away with me as you start then to journey back outwards? We are now in a new year. And we need to think about what is it that we need to leave behind in order to move on. And sometimes it is about how we see things. If I could have the next slide, please. This says, just because you're right doesn't mean I'm wrong. You just haven't seen things from my side. Is it a 9 or is it a 6? Who drew it? Are they right or are they wrong? Are we able to see the other point of view? And we need to think about that as we consider our own lives, as we consider our situations of faith, as we think about our church life, as we think about our own spirituality and our lives with our families. How do we consider things in order that we can move on? Do we sometimes need to see the other one's point of view? And then we're going to look at the next slide, which is written by C.S. Lewis. And he wrote, "Getting over a painful experience is much like crossing the monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward." Now, if any of you have ever swung on monkey bars, or maybe you've watched children do it, you know exactly what I mean. You're hanging there, aren't you, for dear life, and somehow you've got to go on, but you can only go on when you let go of what's behind you and move forward. And that's what C.S. Lewis was saying. What is it we're going to leave behind in order to go forward? How do we get let go of the past in order to move on in our lives? This isn't about forgetting, but this is about forgiving. Because until we can actually do that, we cannot move on. This is a new year. What is God calling you to let go of and to move forward with? Abraham and Sarah had a lot to let go of and to move on with. And I'm going to recap their story, but when you get home, if you've got time, read it. Start at Genesis chapter 12 and move on to Genesis 21. Read the whole story as one, not as bits as we tend to do. It's a great epic story, and it's a gripping read as we look at what's going to happen next. So Abraham and Sarah were told by God that they'd got to leave where they were and move to a new land. They trusted and they did what God called them to do. And they were getting old, and they probably began to settle into that new life. They were living under God's covenant. Abraham had been told that everyone in his household was part of the covenant. Those who were his family and those who had been bought, his servants, they were all under that covenant. And then all of a sudden there's this arrival of three visitors. And our scripture said they were standing there in front of Abraham. Now, that means exactly the same for us as if someone ringing your doorbell. They're saying, we're here, we've come to visit you. These three strangers appeared. Who are they? We don't know. One of them, we're told, is the Lord. And there they are. And immediately, with haste, we're told, Abraham says, let me get you a little water. Let me get you a morsel of food. And what does he do? He runs off to Sarah, his wife. He says, Sarah, quick, get the flour, make the bread. And then he runs off to his herd, and what does he say? Quick, quick, I need a calf. Quick, he gives it to his servant. Cook it, cook it. I need the food. And it goes back to his people, his visitors, and he spends time with them. It's farcical, isn't it? Think about it. All this speed, all this haste, how long does it take to make bread? How long is it going to take to cook that cow? But Abraham stops and talks to his visitors. He is offering them the best hospitality possible. And in it, we see the cameo of the life of the patriarch. And you know, that's what happens to us when we come to the Lord's table. When we share the Lord's Supper, we are being offered the best hospitality possible. We are being given so much. It's a feast that is given to us by God. And so we read on, and these guests were told, these visitors, they're traveling in the heat of the day. No one traveled in the heat of the day unless they had a very important message. And they sit around and they talk and they ask after Sarah. How did they know who Sarah was? How did they know her name? And Sarah, well, she's doing probably what we would have all have been doing when these sort of strange guests turned up. She's earwigging, isn't she? She stood at the door of the tent listening in. What's going on? What are they saying? And then they said, you're going to have a baby. Sarah's going to have a baby. Oh, you've got to be joking. My age? A baby? You're on another planet. And she laughs. And they hear her laughing. And then she's embarrassed. But then we read on, and we see the second part of Sarah's life when she has that baby. And she said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about it will laugh with me. And she called the baby Isaac, which means he laughs. It's almost a comical story, and yet it is a story about God's will. It's a story about trusting in God. And this is about the covenant prayer that we will be sharing later when we say, Your will, not mine, be done in all things. When we let go and we move on, we are trusting in God, and that is not easy. Remember, faith makes things possible, not easy. And in the book of Judges, we read, Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is a story about an initiative taken by God, but it's also of people who trust and walk in faith. It's a story about offering hospitality. And you know, we can travel that labyrinth because Christ is there with us. And so we walk in faith and in trust. And when we get to the centre of that labyrinth, there we can leave our problems, our worries, our pains, our thoughts, our concerns about change. We can leave them there in the centre, and we can come back out because we take Christ with us through the gift of God on the cross. And that is what we will share here at the table today. God's hospitality to us and the hospitality that we are taught to share. Hope is badly needed in our world, and Christians have a calling to live by it. We are standing on the edge of a new year. We are facing a leap into the unknown, and there will be difficult challenges ahead of us. And so we need to share stories of hope and faith when both seem lacking. And so I want to share with you a final cartoon. And the first character is saying, Why so optimistic about 2017? What do you think it'll bring? I think it'll bring flowers. Yes, how come? Because I am planting the flowers. I pray that you will move into 2017 with hospitality through faith and love. Amen.